From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A man died today from multiple stab wounds after a fight broke out around 12:30 a.m. downtown. Juneau Police Department says 47-year-old Juneau resident William Scott Campbell died en route to Seattle for medical treatment. Police found Campbell at the scene and took him to Bartlett Regional Hospital. JPD spokesperson Aaron Kalwara said police detained a 39-year-old Juneau man for questioning. She said he's still in custody, but they're not releasing his name until they have more information.
So we're still working on serving search warrants, actively conducting a lot of interviews, canvassing the area, just performing the investigation itself. So we need some more time.
Kalwara said updates will be released as police have more information. Juneau Yellow Cab confirmed that Campbell drove a taxi for the company, but was not on duty during the time of the stabbing. A new high-level appointee in Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration is drawing attention for his relative youth and lack of experience. The appointee does have a history of working in Republican Party politics, and his resume was enough to qualify him, according to administration officials, who say he was the best man for the job of helping to oversee negotiations of union contracts. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has more.
Alaska's labor relations manager helps oversee a team of negotiators who hammer out contracts worth hundreds of millions of dollars with the state's public sector unions. A description of the $94,000 a year position lists thorough knowledge of labor contract administration, grievances, and arbitration as among the desired skills and abilities. So it might seem a little weird that the Dunleavy administration picked Jared Gerker for the job. Gerker's predecessor was an attorney. Gerker is not. He's 25 years old, according to his social media profile. He worked for a real estate company for 2 years before taking a job in December as executive assistant to Tuckerman Babcock, the governor's chief of staff, according to Gerker's LinkedIn page. Gerker also worked with Dunleavy's campaign and helped the Republican state senator, Mia Costello, with her reelection bid. Gerker's relatively light resume has some union officials questioning his appointment. But Dunleavy's administration says Gerker was the best of multiple candidates. Kate Sheehan is the state's director of personnel. She was held over from the previous administration. And she says she made the decision to hire Gerker herself.
It's a tricky to fill position. And so looking at available options and speaking with people and knowing some of the names that were forwarded me from my past, I've learned to kind of go with my gut in hiring somebody, and my gut kind of said that Jared would be a great fit for us.
Gerker didn't respond to requests for comment. His job is defined as, quote, partially exempt, so there are no specific minimum requirements, and it doesn't have to be advertised like lower-level positions. Nonetheless, Sheehan says at least 5 candidates were suggested to her. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
The Senate had passed its version of an operating budget yesterday. The debate over amendments took several hours, but ultimately the Senate majority accepted 3 out of the 25 that were proposed. One amendment that they passed would add $800,000 into a program that pays benefits to low-income seniors. Another would distribute $20 million in one-time state education funding. That's money that was already appropriated, but Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget proposal asked legislators to keep that money instead of dispersing it. Sitka Senator Bert Settman, a co-chair of the Finance Committee, says the budget has some big cuts.
I don't know for sure, but I think it's probably the biggest operating budget reductions in the history of the state. I'd have to go back and look at that. But it's significant.
Despite that, it's more than $200 million in spending over last year's budget. That's because senators included a roughly $3,000 dividend payment in their version of the budget. When the Senate's operating budget bill came up to vote, 19 voted yes, with just one, Juneau Senator Jesse Keel, voting against it. But it's not the final version of the budget. The House and Senate must now meet in conference committee to negotiate over the differences between their two budgets. Puna's Icy Strait Point is positioning itself as one of Alaska's top cruise ship destinations. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, roughly 1 in 3 cruise ship tourists next year will visit the entertainment complex on the outskirts of the small southeast community.
Executives from Norwegian Cruise Lines visited Puna to participate in the groundbreaking of a second cruise dock designed for the company's 2 megaships deployed to Alaska. Senior Vice President Howard Sherman says that Huna's beautiful setting and thriving Alaska Native culture is what convinced its corporation to invest.
This isn't just another destination. It's the culture and the people that make it special. Anyone can build a zip line, and yours is amazing. It's the most fun I've ever been down, but you can do that anywhere. And you can't buy that authenticity. You can't build it. You can't put it in a t-shirt shop. You know, you can't put it in a jewelry store. So, you know, we are so excited and so honored to be a part of this, and I thank you.
During a ceremony commemorating the event, Tlingit elders blessed the site and retold the story of the town's founding. Two centuries ago, their ancestors' village was displaced by advancing glaciers in what's now Glacier Bay National Park. As frigid winds blew in from the northwest, elders interpreted it as a sign of approval from the village's ancestors. Huna elder Kenny Grant says there are deep ties to the forested uplands that will be the site of a cruise ship dock starting next year.
To us, this land has a spirit, and we're going to treat it properly.
The 500-foot floating dock is a partnership between Norwegian Cruise Lines and Huna Totem Corporation, the local village corporation. Terms of the deal are not publicly disclosed. The arrangement is possible because the city approved a 25-year lease for the project. The name Huna doesn't appear on cruise ship schedules. On promotional maps, it's Icy Strait Point that passengers will visit. That's the result of shrewd marketing by Huna Totem Corporation, which transformed a defunct seafood cannery into a seasonal entertainment complex. Since 2004, it's expanded rapidly and now features a zip line, ropes course, restaurant, and brewery. A cruise dock was first added in 2015. This second dock will be about a half mile further from town, creating a tourist exclave away from downtown Huna. Early on, cruise visitors numbered in the thousands, but this season will bring more than 250,000 passengers on 137 ships. The second dock adds even more capacity. By the time it's done, the destination could see upwards of 400,000 cruise visitors a season, making it a top destination right along with Juneau, Skagway, and Ketchikan. That made some Huna elders at the ceremony uneasy. Stuart Mills works as a seasonal bear viewing guide. He's worried that bringing in too many people could dilute what Huna has to offer.
See, our town's only 800 people. So we get 5,000 people on this ship and 5,000 people on that ship, that's 10,000 people. We're going to have buses running everywhere, people running everywhere. And it kind of might hinder us because of the fact that we won't have enough for all the excursions for people to do what they want to when they come here.
The Village Corporation is mindful that feelings are mixed here, but it's difficult to measure public sentiment. When the project was announced in December, the Village Corporation said it would hold public meetings in the winter. That didn't happen. Huna Totem CEO Russell Dick says they still hope to do public outreach later in the year, but he believes history won't judge its organization by its profit margins alone.
Because if it did, we're no better than any other company out there. But I do truly believe that the history will judge us on whether or not we create those economic opportunities for our shareholders and whether or not we ensure a vibrant and strong culture as we go forward.
The first cruise ships of the season are expected next week. Reporting in Huna, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The U.S. Navy is increasing its presence in the Arctic, and Navy Secretary Richard Spencer says he'd like to send a ship through the Northwest Passage this summer.
We're still exploring to see if we could do a full passage. There's still ice up there in some places.
If the voyage happens, it would be a freedom of navigation operation. That's a way the U.S. asserts its national interest and maritime rights in an area. Spencer says he wants to do more of them in the Arctic. As sea ice shrinks, countries are sending more and more ships through waters not previously considered navigable. The U.S. is particularly concerned about Russian and Chinese ambitions in the far north. Spencer told a U.S. Senate Appropriations Subcommittee this week that his wake-up call came at the first Arctic Council meeting shortly after he became Secretary of the Navy in 2017.
It truly was an eye-opener for me because sitting across the table was our Russian counterpart talking about the 10,000 Spetsnaz he has up there and the runways that he's bringing back to life for search and rescue.
The secretary made air quotes with his fingers, suggesting he doesn't believe those 10,000 special operations troops are just for civilian purposes. The U.S. Navy added Arctic exercises in 2018 and 2019 and is planning more. Spencer says the Navy and Marines are considering using ADAC for an exercise in September. The Alaska legislature has voted to make February of each year Black History Month. The measure passed the House 37-1 today after previously passing the Senate. It will next go to the governor. And finally, the oldest original lighthouse in Alaska is in dire need of repairs. Juno Empire reports the paint on the 114-year-old Eldred Rock Lighthouse atop a cliff in the middle of Lynn Canal is peeling. But Eldred Rock Lighthouse Preservation Association board member Justin Fantasia says the greater concern is the chunks of concrete falling from the building. Fantasia was part of a team that went out to the lighthouse Monday to take stock of what needs to be repaired. The Eldred Rock Lighthouse Preservation Association, with the help of the Marine Exchange of Alaska, is starting the process of taking over the lighthouse to better preserve it. Weather tonight, rain, mainly after 8 p.m., low around 44. I'm Jeremy Shea, and this has been the KTUO News Update for Thursday, May 2nd, 2019.